Ephesians chapter 5. Now, again, on Thursday nights, next week will be our last week going through the discipleship booklet. What we're doing, this is like a Bible discipleship booklet survey. And what we're doing is we're just sort of going through it, because what we believe would be very spiritually beneficial for this year is for everybody, Ephesians 5, everybody to find one person, pray about it, find one person to take through this 51-page discipleship booklet. Danny, what was your friend's name on Sunday night? Al. Danny had a friend, second time here, and he said he's saved, but he's not been going to church, and he has spiritual desires. Maybe that's yours, Danny. Maybe that's him, okay? And all we're trying to do is teach people the Bible and help them to grow in the Lord. And so tonight, do not do what I'm doing. I'm flying through this discipleship booklet. Don't do this, okay? When I was in Bible college, we'd have Old Testament survey and New Testament survey, and they'd be real thorough when they're going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. When they get about three quarters of the way through, we got like 1 or 2 weeks left of college. Man, they go through 4 or 5 books in 2 weeks because we run out of time. And so this is just really skimming the surface. There's so much more that can be done, but that's what we're doing as we're going through it a little quickly. We've gone through salvation and baptism and spiritual growth, and that's loving God, okay? You can't love God if you're not truly saved. Some people just aren't born again. Like, man, what's wrong with that guy? And we can't judge. That's God. He figures that out, but sometimes people aren't even saved. They're not even born again. And then spiritual growth, and we spend a little time on teaching people to have a time with God every day. If I didn't have time with my wife, my relationship would be stale. You got to have a time for God to speak to you. And then, of course, we abide in Christ every day. And we talked about that. Last week, we talked about Sunday school. And Sunday school is how we love. It's not the only way, but it's a good way for us in our church to love each other. I think I mentioned when Brother Al Perez went home to be with the Lord, his Sunday school class in Monterey Park, they sent gifts, they sent money. He wasn't the only one. Brother Kyle wasn't in his class. He visited him. Different people visited him. But that class, they loved. And that's like the love ministry of our church is Sunday school. Now, tonight we're going to real briefly talk about church and the church, and which is we have loving God, salvation and baptism, loving others, Sunday school membership, and then tonight church membership. Then we'll get into a little bit of serving God. We'll talk a little bit about discipleship. Next week we'll talk about stewardship, and we'll be done. We'll read in just a moment. I got a phone call from a guy about 6 months ago, and he used to attend our church, real sharp guy. Guys, we don't say guys are good looking, right? Right? Well, but girls said he was good looking, okay? And that's what the girls have always said about me all the years of my life. But the girl said he went to our high school. He was good looking guy, real good looking, but got about 6 foot tall, just sort of broad shoulders. Real sharp, real athletic, and really, he had a real heart for God. He was just one of those Saul guys, you know, just a lot of talent, and he was here faithfully growing in the Lord, and he made a bad decision. He left, and I didn't hear from him for about 10 years, and he gave me a phone call, and he said, Pastor, you know, and I don't know how he got my phone number, and I said, how you doing, and I mentioned his name. And I said, man, what's been going on? And he was a young adult here, and now he's still a young adult, probably pushing 30. And I said, hey, what's going on? I said, are you serving the Lord? He said, ah. And he said, I backslid. He said, I moved. I backslid. Quit reading my Bible. Couldn't find a church I felt comfortable with or something like that. And he said, got a best friend, and he said, my best friend and I, he said, we got drunk, and he said, I was drunk, and I got in an accident, and I killed my best friend. He said, I went to prison for 7 years. And he said, I just got out of jail. And he said, the biggest mistake I made is when I quit going to Pacific Baptist Church. By the way, it's not just Pacific, a good church. He said, that was a mistake. Folks, this is God's church. Christians need to be in church. Might I encourage you, parents, please get this. Some people might say, Pastor, how come you, and by the way, I've been more sick this year than ever. I don't know, I keep getting sick. You say, why do you go to church? Because I want everybody else to get sick with me. I want to let those little kids over there know that church is important. And every time you get a sniffle doesn't mean you have to miss church. Well, I'm tired. Tired men rule the world. We're all tired. We'll talk a little bit about that. Ephesians chapter 5. Parents, you are setting the precedence for your children's faithfulness to God's house when they leave your home. Your path, parents, please get this. Your faithfulness to God's house. And I know this is the church. We know this is the temple. But to being with God's people, if you're sporadic, they'll probably be sporadic someday when they leave your home. They don't have to be. But parents, we're the greatest influence on our children. And then on our spiritual children. Let it not be said that here I am, I'm working with a new convert, and I'm not in church. On a Sunday morning or Sunday night, whatever, they say, where were you? Well, my cousin had a birthday party. We're going to the birthday party after church or before church, or we'll go before church and eat the steak, go to church, and then after church we'll eat the cake and ice cream, okay? But just being with God's people, it's a spiritual discipline, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Just a good habit. Good habit to just be in church during church time, okay? Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, some people can't because of illness. We understand that. There's different limitations. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And all the men said. Okay, now when the Bible says love your wives as Christ loved the church, you ought to say amen too. And by the way, she'll probably like to submit to you if you love her the way Christ loves us. Okay. For the husband is the head of the wife, here it is, even as Christ is the head of the church. Who's the head of the church, church? Can everybody say Christ? Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Thanks, Robert. We had one amen on that, okay? Let's try that again. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Good, good, good. Practice what you amen. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and of his blood, or his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Father, help us as we just briefly, quickly go through the discipleship booklet in order that we might better be able to teach the Bible, help new Christians to grow, new members that join our church. And please give us insight in the brief time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Okay, we have our booklets. We're going to go through this rather quickly. So I'm going to read a lot, and then we'll fill in the blanks, okay? Does anybody, do we have, Brother Ray, where are you? Do we have any that are with the blanks in them? Does anybody need one with the blanks? You don't have one? That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm not eating candy. I have a hard time when people chew gum and eat candy when they're public speaking, okay? I'm trying to keep so I don't cough my way through this, okay? Is that okay? Okay, just checking. Some people chew tobacco in North Carolina when they preach, so we won't do that. Okay, let's look at our little booklets. When most people think of a church, they think of a building. Of course, that building over there is not a church. It's a place where the church will serve the Lord. A building is where a church meets. But what defines a church is its pastor, its people, its purpose, and its principles. Of course, the principles are from God's word that govern it. Every, fill in the blank, every Christian needs to be a committed member of a good Bible-believing church. In this chapter, we will look at the importance of church and specifically at what type of church Pacific Baptist is. We're going to go through this real fast. Look at what the Bible tells us of the importance of church. Number one, Ephesians tells us that Jesus loved and sacrificed for the church. We read there in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. We just read that. We have the verses right there. Go down to number two. Acts tells us that the early believers joined and continued in the church. Acts 2, 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the word of God, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Number three, and I apologize, I've been going through this fast, but what we want to cover tonight, we don't have that much time. Hebrews tell us not to forsake our fellow Christians in the church. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but go to the next page, page 20, I believe it is, and it's what is a Baptist, okay? And we'll spend a few moments on that, and it'll be just real brief, and we've spent more time on that. This book here, I've brought it to the pulpit once before. It's an 1,100-page book that was it has a history of the martyrs. Okay, most of us have heard of the Fox's Book of Martyrs. This is Martyr's Mirror. This is a book that it was written in I don't know, 1700 or so, something like that. And it's the story of 17 centuries of Christian martyrs from the time of Christ. And these are Baptist martyrs. Okay, when we say Baptist, we talk about true New Testament Christians. And this has stories and testimonies. We'll read one tonight. The reason we read the one that we'll read tonight, because it's short, it's also very good. But everybody identifies with and again, this is, we don't really have the time to go over it, but everybody identifies with a church. Can we, Jeremy, do you have that on there? Do you have that? Why don't we, I'm going to read one little testimony of look, everything's contagious. Don't let me cough on you guys. Okay? Loving God is contagious. A commitment to God is contagious. Okay? And we want to encourage our people to identify. Look, if you get with Christians that don't really love the Lord, guess what? You might catch the bug. If you're around Christians that really are really committed, when we say Baptist Christians, we mean New Testament Christians, people that are committed to the Lord, committed to His Word, and they're committed to being true disciples of Christ. And so why don't we put this up here? This is just one testimony. If we can have a couple of the lights off, that'll be great. This was year 925. Now, you say, there were different people back in those days, okay? This boy was 13, a lad of 13 years, after much suffering for the true Christian faith at Corvoy, has his arms and legs cut off and is finally beheaded. Go ahead, Brother Jeremy. It is stated that about 2 years after, namely, AD, by the way, they sort of speak old, this is written sort of old English. A lad of 13 years called Pelagius was put to death for the name of Christ in Cordova, which occurred as follows. His uncle, who by some writers is called a bishop, having been apprehended and imprisoned at Cordova by the Arabian king, said, Imerigos, in order to be released, left his nephew, who was then only about 13 years old, in his stead as a pledge, which for more than 3 years was not redeemed, either through the neglect of his friends or because the king would not let go the youth, who is now very calmly and well-mannered. They liked his character. In the meantime, this lad exercised himself diligently in the Christian religion to prepare himself for his martyrdom. In that time, in that part of the world, martyrdom was so prevalent that this is one of the things that you taught your children, that if we're faithful to God, you may be martyred someday. By the way, aren't you glad we don't live in that day and age? But these people were so committed to the Lord that they said this might happen, and the children caught on, and they had such a commitment to Christ. By the way, they probably weren't playing video games all week like some of our kids were playing during spring break. Somebody say amen. I'd throw that one in there. By the way, my kids were playing video games on my phone. I don't know, whatever games are on my own, Pac-Man or something. But the king, having in view something else than to hear the, when he was about 13 and a half years old, he was brought before the king, and standing there immediately began to confess his faith, declaring that he was ready to die for it. I wonder how many 13 and a half year olds today would say, I'm ready to die for my faith. But the king, having in view something else than to hear the confession of the Son of God or of the Christian faith, proposed to the youth, who was quite innocent and evil, some improper things, which this hero of Christ valiantly and in a Christian manner refused. In other words, they said, just deny Christ. They didn't want to kill the kid. Deny Christ, and you'll be okay. Which this hero, by the way, it'd be nice if we had 13-year-old heroes again. I mean, this kid's a hero. Of Christ, valiantly in his Christian manner, refused, willing rather to die in an honorable death for the name of Christ than to live shamefully with the devil and pollute both soul and body with such an abominable sin. Go ahead, please. The king, hoping that he could yet be persuaded, commanded his servants to ply him with fair promises. They're bribing him to the effect that if he would apostatize, he should be brought up with the royal splendor at the court of the king. He said, listen, man, you can live in or around the royal palace. But the Lord in whom he trusted strengthened him. Aren't you glad God gives grace during these times? strengthen him against all the allurements of this world, so that he said, I am a Christian and will remain a Christian and obey only Christ's command all the days of my life. Amen. Go. Next. Thank you. The king, seeing that he remained steadfast, was filled with rage and commanded his guards to take him, suspend him by iron tongs, and pinch him and haul him up and down until he should either die or renounce Christ as his Lord. But having undergone all this, he was fearless as ever and refused not to suffer still more torture, even unto death. When the tyrant pierced the immovable steadfastness of this youth, he commanded that they should cut him limb from limb and throw the pieces into the river. As he thus stood before the king, dripping with blood from his previous tortures, he prayed to none than to Jesus Christ, our Lord, saying, O Lord, deliver me out of the hands of my enemies. When he lifted up his hands to God in prayers, the executioners pulled them apart and cut off first one arm and then the other, thus also his legs and lastly his head. When this was done, the pieces were thrown into the river. This young hero and pious witness of Jesus Christ ended his life on the 29th of June, AD 925, his martyrdom having lasted from 7 o'clock in the morning until evening. See the first mentioned writer who has given the account of the Arabian persecution on the page referred to, third column, compared with Ragai and Append or all that. Okay, thank you. You can get the lights there, please. Can you guys cover that for us, please? Those are the type of Christians that will inspire us, okay? And I remember when we went to, let's look at our paper here. What is a Baptist? The first little bubble there. You see that bubble? We are not a Protestant church. We did not protest and separate from the Catholic Church. Okay, when they say they're Protestants, they came out of the Catholic Church somehow. We never did that. We trace our history. Next bubble, we traced our history back to the early church. Okay, the next bubble. The acrostic Baptist will help you remember our beliefs. By the way, this isn't all of our beliefs. These are core beliefs in the church. Letter B is for the Bible that we use as the only authority of the faith, doctrine, and practice of our church. And as you're teaching a new Christian, you explain to them, our church, the Bible is our authority. Okay? We read books. We read books and we share books, but the Bible is our authority. And if a book contradicts the Bible, we don't go along with the book. Letter A is for the autonomy of the local church. Okay, the autonomy of the local church. This means that our church is self-governing, really self-governing, self-supporting, self-propagating. We are accountable to Christ. We're led by our pastor, not some outside governing board. We are not a part of a denomination. We have accountability within our church. And often people ask, "What's your denomination?" or that, and we're an independent, autonomous church. Letter P is for the priesthood of the Christian. All Christians can come before God without the help of any man. And we pray for people, and people come and ask us to pray. Let this new Christian know, guess what? You can pray to God now that you're saved. And we believe, priesthood of a believer. Letter T is for only two church offices, okay? There are many jobs in the church, but two offices of the church mentioned in the Bible, pastor and deacon. Of course, elder, bishop, but pastor and deacon. Letter I is for the individual soul liberty. We all have a free will to choose how we live. Each individual will give an account for his life to God someday. And of course, when we teach about Baptist history in America, we know that many of the Protestants came from Europe to America, and they brought the state church to America. And our Baptist forefathers said, you're bringing the state church to America. You're imposing this on people. You require their babies to be baptized into the church. And they, our Baptist forefathers here in America in the 1600s, they literally fought this. And now we in America, we don't have a state church, of course. And so that's individual soul liberty. You can't make it. Everybody has a choice to serve God or not. Letter S is for the saved and baptized who make up the membership of the church. And, of course, this is all real brief, sort of vague, but it's baptized who make up the membership of the church. By the way, how can you be a member of the church? You know, if you're sprinkled as a little baby, you're a member of the church. You're not even saved. You're not even regenerated. And then these children grow up, and you wonder why you have churches churches filled with unregenerated people. I was baptized as a baby, but I wasn't saved. Okay, I was baptized before I got saved in the Catholic Church. Then I was baptized before I got saved when I was a teenager, and I still wasn't saved. Okay, but you have to be, and that's why when someone joins our church, we want to make sure that they're saved. They truly born again. A lot of times, someone will profess to be saved, and we'll take them to the discipleship booklet, and then when we get to salvation, we find out they're not saved. And at that time, if they're going through the discipleship booklet, they're obviously wanting to learn about God, and they're God-fearing. A lot of times, they'll get saved right then, and they get truly born again. Amen? We want to make sure they're saved. Saved and baptized who make up the membership of the church. Letter T is for the two ordinances of the church. These are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism was explained earlier, a few weeks ago. The Lord's Supper is a time when we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and examine our life and our relationship with Him. Letter S is for separation of church and state. We are to support, submit, to honor, and to pray for our nation. But the state is not to run the church. And so that's that. We're running a little bit late. Okay, the purpose of the church. I'm going to go through this real quickly. Everybody still awake out there? Fill in your blanks. And I know this is sort of just, I don't like to do this. But one more week, we're going to go through this and we'll be done. The purpose of the church. And this is not thorough at all. But the purpose of the church, we believe in the local church, the first little bubble. Next bubble, 99% of the time, the word church is used in the Bible is to refer to a local group of believers. The local church is the body of men and women who have been saved and called by God to serve in His local church. There are several functions attributed to the church in the scriptures. One, teach the Bible. Teach and preach the Bible. Acts 2:42. Okay, number two. It provides fellowship. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. Number three, I briefly spent a little time on Sunday night praying together. Families that pray together stay together. That's not a verse in the Bible, but that'll work. Pray with your wife. Pray with your children. Pray together. Everybody pray together. Pray by yourself. Pray. Seek the Lord. Number four, observe the ordinances. Okay. They gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Number five, get people saved. By the way, we get people saved out on the streets and neighbors. Also, we get them saved in the church. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Number six, build up Christians. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some... And we've taught on spiritual gifts, and I'm not going to teach on that tonight. Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Say, who are the saints? We're the saints. Okay? Saint isn't somebody that's reached a certain level of spirituality. You're a saint if you're saved. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Times our calendar dealing with church membership, new membership orientation, new membership reception, and membership Sunday. Now, go ahead and close your book. We're about done. We do, if you study Jesus' ministry, one thing that Jesus did, He asked for commitment. When He said, take up your cross, deny yourself. Remember, if you don't ask for commitment, you're probably not going to get it. And so when you're working with somebody, okay, be loving, be kind, but ask for commitment. And at the end of each one of these chapters, there's just a little, it's a commitment. It's a little commitment box, and you can go over that also. Okay, look up here. Let me just share one thought. Next week, we're going to go into discipleship. I was going to go into this week, but it's we'll go into discipleship and stewardship, and we'll finish that. I want to really encourage everybody. You get somebody, you see they're saved. Or by the way, maybe you didn't win them to Christ. Maybe they come in the church door and they just sort of, when I came to church, nobody invited me. I got on my phone and I asked my brother. He was at Fort Lewis, Washington in the Army. I said, you know, I've been to a couple churches, lady pastor and different ones, little weird things. And he said, hey, go to a Baptist church. Typically, they stay closest to the Bible. Okay? And if you stay close to the Bible, you can't go wrong. And I was at different churches and so forth. But I came in and I know nobody, not one soul. Nobody from that church, Gethsemane Baptist. Several people here at one time went to Gethsemane Baptist. And but I don't know what it was. I made a decision. By the way, I was reading my Bible, even when I was going to the sort of weird churches. I was reading my Bible. Okay? But it was like there was something missing. And what it was is I wasn't in a good Bible-believing church. And when I got in that Bible-believing church, it was like, wow, that was like the missing ingredient in my life. And I had fellowship. The preacher got up there. He taught. When he talked and he taught and he preached, I'm like, I can really understand this. He'd read it. He'd explain it. And it's like, hey, that's for me. And it just was very helpful. Over the years, there's one common denominator that I've seen that have really caused people to go far away from God. Far away from God. How many have met someone that was a really faithful Christian and you saw them 3 or 4 years later? It's like, wow, they're far away from, you know what I'm talking about? Far away from God. You say, what is it? Sporadic church attendance. Now, probably the sporadic church attendance is probably because they're not in their Bible and they're not fellowshipping with the Lord. They're not confessing their sins. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. They're not studying the Bible. I got a letter. There was a guy in our church. went to our Christian school. Got called to preach. He was here in our church. I remember him going to fine arts and preaching. And he was just a good guy. Good guy in our church. And he graduated. And unfortunately, okay, he didn't come from a Christian home. I didn't come from a Christian home. Many of us didn't come from a Christian home. Okay? I come from a dysfunctional family. And everyone's going, amen. We all did, right? It's like, oh, okay, you too. But it's nice to have a Christian home. It sure helps. And a lot of times that time right after you graduate, when you become an adult, that first year or so, A lot of times, young people sort of slip away. They don't have a good enough foundation, and they slip away. You don't have to slip away from God when you graduate from high school, but the statistics say they do. But this kid, he just got out, started making some decisions. By the way, there's no Baptist pope, no pastor's not a pope. We're not popes. None of us are in charge of anybody. I'm not in charge of anybody. But when there's a kid that doesn't have Christian parents, it's good to get godly advice. Well, it's good to get godly advice for all of us. I get godly advice. And he sort of shunned that. And you saw him starting to miss church. And he disappeared. He disappeared. I got this letter 2 days ago. Dear Pastor Esposito, you might not remember me. I sure do remember him. I used to attend Pacific Baptist School and church. I write this letter in hope that you might be able to give me guidance back to the Lord. My heart is in distress. After my wrongdoings, I sit in this jail facility not understanding how I've drifted so far away from God. Really, this is a good kid. If I remember, well, I remember the teenagers, they'd have prayer meetings in this auditorium. He'd be one of the first ones to be in that prayer meeting. He can preach. If I remember correctly, I would snuck in the back once. The guys will come in here and they'll preach, the young teen high school guys. Good, very well-mannered young man. My heart's in distress after my wrongdoings. I sit in jail facility, not understanding how I've drifted so far from God. I remember my high school years attending Pacific Baptist Church. Every day that I was in church, learning, growing in the Lord, I regret and repent for what has brought me to this place. This guy's in prison. It is obvious that no matter, by the way, my sons were buddies with him. They're friends with him. They know who it is. My older sons. They went to school with him. They play basketball with him. Brought me to this place. It is obvious that no matter how much I pray to God that I'll be doing some prison time. I write and ask God that the church and yourself will keep me in your prayers. It's not easy to write what I'm about to write. I am currently facing, and I'm not going to tell you what he's got here. It's all kinds of bad stuff. One count is 10 to life. Another count is 5 to 10 years. Another count is 5 to 10 years. So that's a life in 30 years. My heart is grieving for what I've found out today from my attorney. I've cried for my wrongdoings. I can't believe that I left church and left God, of course. I remember the day God called me to be a preacher. Well, this kid's speaking from his heart. Okay? He's speaking from his heart. And yet, my life did a complete 360. I wish I could take it all back and still be in church. He keeps saying, in church, in church, in church. This is a good place to identify with God's church. I left church and I was in church and I wish I can be back in church. I want to serve God. I've been attending Bible studies here. I'm going to skip some of this. I need prayer, Pastor. I don't want to live in the dark no more. Hey, young people, that darkness that you've developed an appetite for, it's going to bring you, it might not bring you to prison, it could bring you to prison, but it's going to bring you to some prison. This kid never thought, this was really, when he came here, we'd help a couple, he was not a trouble kid, good kid, he was a nice kid. I'm shocked he's in prison. I need prayer, Pastor. I don't want to live the dark life no more. I've read the Bible, but my heart feels callous towards God. I need God to soften my heart and to help me to once again understand His Word. That's right. You need His Word. You need prayer. You need a church. I've let my flesh control my path. He's still preaching. I want to break free from these bonds the devil has me under. I remember Brother Johnny Esposito and Brother Nathan Ross and Brother Compa and all the brothers and sisters that tried to mold me into a godly man. And then he goes again, I miss the church services. I miss being around godly people. By the way, you can tell that he was truly born again. Okay, God's chastened him. And now he's remembering, okay? I miss the church services. I miss being around godly people. I now understand that you were trying to keep me away from the ungodly life. Hey, young people, you might want to listen to this guy. I'm not trying to take away anything fun from you. I'm engaged and have a beautiful daughter. Pray for them and the grief that I've caused them. By the way, you go away from God, you grieve other people. You grieve a wife, you grieve a spouse, you grieve a child, you grieve a mother, you grieve a father, by the way, you grieve brothers and sisters in Christ. And more important than anything else, you grieve the heart of God, the Bible says. Pray that they stay strong. That God will open doors and work miracles in this indictment that I face. That the people working on my case will be enlightened. I've tried with all my might, will, and strength to make things right. Keep me in your prayers. that I come back onto the path of God. I've been astray long enough. Say, Pastor, what is this discipleship booklet? You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to get people on the right path and keep them on the right path. Man, these are, I get these every once in a while. It's a phone call, letter like this. It's heartbreaking. Let's stand together. We'll close in prayer.